Declan Meehan. East Coast
FM. Now, not everyone will get what they want this Christmas because of, you know, there are pressures out there. And St. Vincent de Paul helps people experiencing poverty and social exclusion throughout County Wicklow. So we're asking you to please take part in the East Coast FM Give a Gift campaign. And this year we need your help more than ever. Simply drop a new unwrapped gift for boys or girls of any age to one of our 9 drop-off points throughout County Wicklow. And I'll give you the whole list before we finish our conversation, including Shoreline Leisure in Greystones, the Park View Hotel in Newtown Mount Kennedy, and the Commune Centre in Blessington. And you can see a full list of the drop-off points to donate online. You can go to eastcoast.fm/giveagift. Now, we're joined on the line by Chris, who's a St. Vincent de Paul service user. He's going to tell us about how they helped him. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you keeping?
Good morning. Great to talk to you. We're here to sort of just to tell people about the wonderful work that St. Vincent de Paul do. How did they come into your life? How did you come into their life? And what helped you get?
Yeah, well, I guess the story kind of starts, if you will, when I was in secondary school. So I guess when I was about 17, I'd had some kind of troubles at home in terms of money and et cetera. And I decided to kind of drop out of school. I was getting quite a bit of trouble in school for not having, you know, things like shoes, school uniforms. And as a kid, I guess, you know, you don't fully understand the reality of that. So I decided to kind of drop out of school when I was 17 and get a full-time job. And I worked for about 3 or 4 years doing that. And I started to think about, you know, well, is this my life now forever? Really. And, you know, it was a struggle at the time. I was kind of renting, so it was a little bit of a hassle to make ends meet every week. And I decided to go back, I guess, and resit my leaving cert as a mature student. And that's not really something that's easy to do. It's quite a humbling experience. But something that I'm now immensely grateful that I did. And then I decided that I was very able to do that. And that, you know, how much further could I really take this opportunity? So I decided I had to wait till I was 23, but I decided to kind of apply for colleges as a mature student. And one of the guys that I was living with, his mother was involved in the St. Vincent de Paul, and he kind of knew my story. So he'd shared that with her. So I popped up to her one day. I had a chat about it, and she kind of let me know that there are supports out there that can kind of really help you get through this, and that money shouldn't really be the reason, the kind of factor that you don't pursue college. So had a good chat with her. I went in, I met the St. Vincent de Paul, I filled in a few forms, had a good chat with them. And when I got that email to say that, you know, they kind of helped me with a bursary through college just to buy things like laptop, internet, books, supplies, things like that. It took a massive burden off me, to be honest, to actually go and pursue third level education, which I was well able to do. Just had some mitigating factors in terms of actual money at the time. So it was an amazing opportunity for me. And, you know, I'd worked full time through everything else that I'd done in my life. So any time I was doing courses during the night or my leaving cert or whatever, I was working full time while I was doing it because I had to. And I guess the bursary kind of gave me a little bit of a platform to kind of, I still worked on the weekends, but to really kind of focus on my education and gave me the platform to be the best version of myself. So, yeah, very, very lucky.
Yeah, it sounds great. But, I mean, a lot of effort yourself and a lot of great mental attitude. So take us back to being 17 and you know, why did you drop out? What was your mental status as such? I don't think you were ill or anything, but what was the formulation of that opinion?
Well, I guess you start to resent school a little bit. There was an occasion I'd been suspended because I didn't have the right school shoes. As a kid, you don't really understand that the reason you didn't have school shoes was because your parents they weren't able to afford them. And I was getting into a little bit of trouble and I guess acting out a little bit at that age because you really don't understand why you're kind of being picked on separately from everybody else.
And had you brothers and sisters or what was in the family?
Yes, I have one brother, yeah.
And what was he like?
Yeah, no, he was great. He kind of followed the right path, if you will. He kind of finished school, everything. But he'd gone to college, so at the time I was kind of a little bit by myself, lacked a little bit of guidance, if you will. And I got a little bit fed up of school, and I was getting into a little bit of trouble while I was there as well. So I just decided it was best for me to kind of have my own independence And that's something that I decided to do. I decided to drop out and start working full time.
Yeah, and what did your family think of you with that decision?
Yeah, I mean, they weren't delighted about it, but at the time, because I started getting in so much trouble, they were kind of like, well, look, if this is really what you want to do, then, you know, you'll have to make it work. And I knew I didn't really have a choice. There was no safety net there for me if I kind of messed this up. And I think that's something that actually really differentiates you a little bit. When I got back into third level education and when I went on to do my master's as well, you start to notice that, you know, that kind of life experience you get from kind of living by yourself and looking after yourself from a young age really does separate you from the pack. And that thought of knowing that there isn't a safety net there for you really does kind of encourage you to really focus and make the most of the opportunity that's presented to you.
Yeah. And were you living at home when you left school?
When I left school, I was, but I moved out when I was 18 right. And I was living in a house share.
Right. And how did you fund that?
And then work, yeah. And that's what I mean. It was a struggle. I worked yeah. every different job. I worked in a factory, worked in
it's expensive, you know?
Yeah, it's very expensive, yeah. And worked in labouring on the weekends as well. It was kind of whatever I could really get my hands on, to be honest.
Yeah. So, you know, there you were in a different world. Did you miss school?
I did, yeah. I kind of seen the people that I went to school with. I was still kind of friends with them all on Facebook, etc. I'd seen them all going off to college and living their lives. And I was kind of still stuck in the same place I was when I was 17. And I started to wonder about the opportunity that I'd missed when I decided to kind of drop out of school and not pursue third level education, which I was confident I was able to do, but money was a mitigating factor in how I was going to be able to do it. I kind of tried to plan to get back into it, but it was a case of like not being able to like put away enough money to kind of support myself when I made that journey.
Yeah. And what goes into your head? I mean, is it I want more money in order for me to do things, or I want to do things of their own self to sort of say, how good am I? Would I be good at this? And, to get an education to be able to go to a different career. What's the motivating factors?
It was self-actualization. I was very aware of the fact that I was able to do it. And when I went back to kind of reset my leave, I started to realize, like, this is something I was 100% able to do. And that kind of spurred me on to third level education, in which I really excelled. And I thought, I kind of missed an opportunity here. And I really started to see, you know, I've got potential out there that doesn't involve me kind of working in a menial job and jumping from different job to pay the bills, that I could really kind of do something that I love. And that's huge. Like, when the idea of working somewhere where you really, really would be happy, and a job that you think, like, you consider your dream job, that was tangible. That was something for me, for my self-actualization and myself, that was massively important.
So here you are in your 20s, you haven't got your leaving yet, would that be right?
Correct.
Yeah, then you get the leaving and fair play, and then you're thinking of a third level, and then there's things like maybe the Susie Grant or something, does that come into it?
Yeah, I was lucky to get the Susie Grant, but I wasn't able to get it until I was a mature student, which means that I kind of had to spend a couple of years kind of waiting around, which was tough. But because I was kind of independent, there was a lot of expenses, so I always had to work. There was often times where I'd be working kind of doing a full-time degree, but then I was pretty much doing a full-time job at the same time. So, but it had to be done, is the reality of it.
Mm, and what subjects were you good at?
When I was in school.
Yeah, and to transfer post-leaving into consider what to do in third level.
Well, I remember doing my mocks for my leaving before I left, and I loved business, and I kind of liked math, but I'd also been having a lot of trouble with, like, teachers in the school, and I wasn't really focusing in class. So I remember they said I'd have to do, foundation math, and I was really upset by that because I knew... I knew I'd be able to do a lot better. And then I remember when I finished my master's, I got a 1-1 in statistics, and I just thought to myself, you know, that whole time when I thought that I wasn't able to do it, I was in reality. It's just I wasn't focusing, I wasn't applying myself, and I wasn't really given a platform to kind of show my best self at the time.
Yeah, well, fair play to you. A 1-1 in statistics. I mean, that sounds to me a nightmare, you know? To get a 1-1, you know? So you had the aptitude all along, but you knew that inherently yourself.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think somewhere deep down inside myself, especially because I've been working with people and I thought, you know, some of the people that I've been working with have been working there for quite a long time as well. And, you know, I don't think they were happy. And I wasn't, I started asking myself the question, well, like, do you want to be here in 10 years? And then you might not be happy either. So I took a chance, you know, but there was a lot of hard work involved and it didn't come easily, I'll say it that way.
Yeah. So what's now?
Well, now I finished my master's and in Trinity, which I never thought I'd be able to do. And I guess kind of just to go back to what I was saying before, those kind of life experiences that you have when you're younger really separate you from the pack. I applied for a job in a company here in Dublin, which I'd only dreamed for working of. And I couldn't believe it when I got accepted. And I just consider myself extremely lucky to kind of have the support to get to where I am now.
Indeed. So what would you say to people about the help that St. Vincent de Paul made to your life?
Well, I think, you know, for me personally, just to kind of take from my experience, I think for anyone out there who, like, considers further education, but money is something that's holding you back, I promise you it's worth it. There are supports out there, and, you know, it takes a lot of hard work to get to where you want to be, but you'll thank yourself, I promise you that.
Very good. Hang on the line there a second, Chris, and we go to David Lowen from the Wicklow Conference of the St. Vincent de Paul. Hi, David.
Morning, Declan. How are you?
Good morning to you. There is an amazing, remarkable story. A great guy to begin with. He just needed a bit of help along the way, and that was given to him by St. Vincent de Paul.
Yeah, it's lovely to hear Chris's story, and there's lots of great stories like that, thank God. Helped by the very generous communities we have here in Greystones and in Wicklow, who support the Society of St. Vincent de Paul all year round, but particularly at this time of the year. And a big shout out and thank you to East Coast FM for the toy appeal. It's been an amazing success. We collected 10 black sacks full of toys here from Shoreline over the weekend, and they're being distributed now to families around the East Coast here. So thank you.
Yeah, it's amazing because a lot of people might just consider, oh, well, St. Vincent de Paul, that's about helping families with some food items or something, and maybe toys at Christmas. But career-wise and a life-changing study that it's given to Chris, I mean, many people might know that St. Vincent de Paul is involved in that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have a bursary which we run each year. And we have a lot of students going into third level or apprenticeships. The applications come out probably during the summer, August of each year, and we work through them right up until October. So, and it's been very successful. And the people that we help generally come back to us and actually support us in later life. So it's great, great success.
So what would you say to people? You know, you'd say, okay, donate all year round, particularly at Christmas, but you're not just involved in one area. You're also giving people breaks as well.
Apart from helping people financially, we also try to support people with advice, whether that's directing them to the Money Advice Bureau or to Citizens Advice, or indeed helping them with the experience of our own volunteers in the society. But yeah, education is a big issue for St. Vincent de Paul. We believe that helping young families, particularly teenagers, progress in education is a way of helping people move out of, you know, potentially poverty traps in years to come.
Yes, well, certainly, you know, Chris is testament to that. Chris, you know, it's great to see that you've got a fantastic, you know, future there, and you're determined to work hard. Do you look back with regret, Chris, at the years you know, in some people's eyes, you wasted?
I mean, I'll be honest with you, absolutely not. Yeah, I mean, no one's life is perfect. Everyone's path is a little bit different. And I think a lot of those experiences that I had made me a stronger person, and it also equipped me a lot better to kind of deal with the kind of the rigors of the real world when the time came to apply for jobs, etc. I matured quite quickly because of everything, and in hindsight, I really wouldn't change anything. But I am also extremely lucky to have kind of had that support to kind of take me to that next level.
Yeah, and the statistics, knowledge comes in handy, does it?
And hard work.
Yeah, fair play. I never heard of that before, but I tell you, somebody who knows that sort of thing, there's lies and statistics. Which side are you on?
Sorry, say that again?
There's lies and statistics, some people say. You know, but you're doing the statistics side. Very good. And we wish you all the very best, Chris. And well done. And thanks for your acknowledgement of the great work by St. Vincent de Paul. David, how do people contribute to this?
Well, they can drop prize at the moment up to the 21st of December to any of the drop-off points around the East Coast. I think they're listed on your website. They can also drop a donation through a blue envelope, which would be available in most parish centres, and we'll get to the local conference. Or they can indeed go online to svp.org/donate and choose the actual town that they want their contribution to go to help a family there.
Brilliant. Okay. Thanks to David Lowen from the Wicklow Conference of St. Vincent de Paul and to Chris. Thanks, Chris. Best of luck for the future. And David, thank you for coming on. Morning Show at East Coast.